This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Monday edition of the program. Merely Bo, the great Z. How you living, buddy?
You know, it is great that the draft has come and gone, and that it was very mundane, in fact, I think is an appropriate word for the Cleveland Browns. No trade arounds, but it wasn't a draft. Like I said, you were looking for your savior. You were looking for some pieces that, honestly, maybe one or two that could potentially help you this year, but for the most part, you were looking for pieces that can help you in 25, 26, so not an immediate impact. And I think, you know, one thing people should also remember when thinking about this particular draft class is you use draft capital from this year's draft, take the Deshaun Watson piece out of it, but for Za'Darius Smith and Jerry Jeudy. So when you look at it in whole, you got probably three impact players out of it, one of them who you benefited from last year as well as Za'Darius, but it was just kind of...
You had a action-packed Saturday.
Incredibly action-packed.
How did you even keep your head on a swivel?
You know, it was hard to keep up with.
It wasn't rolling down the street.
Yeah, it was just Browns pick after Browns pick in the 3 hours we were on the radio. No, not a single pick. It was difficult. Tyvus did a great job. I think that we still kept it interesting, kept everybody up to date on what was going around the league, really got thorough into our look at the roster.
Yeah.
So I have that at the ready right in my old brain if we want to get into some of that.
If you want to get into the depth chart, we got it, baby.
Yeah, it was a draft where they got the guy they really wanted at pick 54 in Mike Hall Jr., pass rushing defensive tackle. We'll talk more about him. And then from there, it was just kind of, you know, some succession planning and then trying to find guys that have particular skill sets that, like Liam Neeson, that make them attractive to our team.
Yeah. It's I kind of felt like that was the case. While your experience was unique and pretty tough when you're on the air for 3 hours and you don't have a pick, it did feel like the draft lost steam big way on Saturday.
Yeah.
In general, when they go to this model of the Thursday, Friday, and then you run it back on Saturday, it's hard, especially when, there was six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. There wasn't another one picked until Rattler in the fifth round.
I know. Longest drought ever.
Is that fact?
It was 126 picks had been the longest prior to that, and I think that was in the early Jim Fossil. When Jim Fossil was drafted, he had that streak. So it was 126 picks. And, that was smashed, I think, like pretty quickly in the fifth round.
Yeah, so you had that. Yeah. And then you think about if you're a casual fan of college football, you know quarterbacks first, and then you probably historically know running back second.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But this year there weren't that either.
Yep.
So you just – and there's so many receivers who you knew that went off the board in the first two rounds that by the time you get to third, fourth – by the time you got to Saturday, who do you even know? How many of these guys are you even familiar with for the casual fan? I talk about college football every day, and we were at lacrosse up in Sandusky on Saturday, and I was scrolling through, and I was like, I don't recognize these names. So that makes it tough when you do it that way. So like
outside of the big schools, right?
Yeah, you're just not.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Well, that's what was so hard about doing the draft. And by that point, everybody's draft boards are so divergent.
Yeah.
Teams are divergent, especially from the draft boards that we have quote unquote access to are media draft boards. Daniel Jeremiah's, Dane Brugler's, who CBS Sports thought was the best available. But that, as we well know, is not always what NFL teams think. Because I remember back in, 2020, Donovan Peoples-Jones was the best available starting in the second round, and then we got him in the sixth round. But So you just you never know how the league views guys or if there's injury things we don't know about or things like that. But yeah, it was it's a lot of kind of, you know, and I think what's interesting now is there are more teams than ever, and I tell me if you agree with this, there are more teams than ever that drafted kind of like we did in the sense that they don't necessarily need a ton right now. They're filling some needs right now, but they're also looking with an eye to the future with these picks. So that kind of changes it. There weren't, you know, now some teams were completely trying to reshape their roster and make things over. And I think, you know, all in all, you had some teams that did a good job of that.
Yeah. And it's, there's so many different objectives to this. And you think about, you and I talked about this last week in the advance of this, like how many of these guys even have a chance to make the roster? You know, that's just, it's a tough nut to crack.
Barring injury, I think there are only two people that we drafted that really have a clear path to playing actual snaps this year, like meaningful snaps on a consistent basis.
Yep.
And that would be Mike Hall.
Yep.
And then I think Nathaniel Watson, the linebacker out of Mississippi State, because at 235, 240 pounds, and he's a great blitzer. He actually led the SEC in sacks.
How about that?
He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. 10 sacks, 137 tackles, and he's a very good blitzer as a linebacker. So I could see him do some of the things that Sione Takitaki did for us last year, and then they'll try to groom him maybe to be the Mike of the future, but to, in some of those passing situations, be a walk-up blitzer and things like that. But and he's probably going to be a core special teams guy. Zinter hopefully does not play a snap.
It would only be injury, right?
Only injury.
Yeah.
Jamari Thrash needs to, I think, show something to make the team. Now, there are a lot of people that Steve Smith's a huge fan of his. Dane Brugler, I thought, said that he thought that was his favorite pick the Browns made in this one. But, you know who your top three are. You know they want Cedric Tillman to ascend, and there's definitely a belief in this building that he's going to take a big step forward in year number two. But he's got to show that he can take the top off the defense. And I think his best-case scenario, right, would be to earn a Marquise Goodwin type of a role, which maybe 10 snaps a game.
So let's go through these guys a little bit since you did it all weekend long. Mike Hall, let's start Friday for our audience, our Cleveland Browns Daily audience. Mike Hall in the second. I mean, we Gibbe's very first mock.
Had it.
Mike
He's on
Hall,
fire.
Nailed it. Do you have an arrow
came
pointing
close,
up, Gibbe?
Came close to the other one. Well, better than a couple people in this room.
Better get him some ups.
Wait a second. Who put an arrow down for me?
I think I can guess.
Just saying, based on some things that happened earlier today.
Oh, my gosh.
Some stocks are down. Up and some stocks are no bueno.
Uno Orocho put you – there's no way they gave you a stock down. Gibbe gave you a stock down for this morning?
Wait a minute.
You did a yeoman's effort.
I believe I did not give the
you
stock down.
You did not give the stock down?
No.
Oh, that's outrageous. It's outrageous. They're getting quite chesty in there as the days are running.
Griff, did you do this? Griff, I had already gone and erased your down arrow and put your four good arrows back up.
Griff went down arrow on you?
I believe there was a down arrow. Was there not a down arrow on there?
You wrote that, Griff?
Is he owning it? Is he owning the?
I mean,
the,
between the, Uno and
hey,
Griff.
Have Uno explain why Griff gave him a – because Griff – can Uno? We talk about why?
Yeah, so we
– sure. There's some taping going on.
There was some taping that was going
some
on
Saturday
earlier.
Saturday night taping on a Wednesday.
And at one point, my mic was not on. By the way, I told – we had 3 hours. Tyvus got that story.
Of time.
He dumbfounded.
Yeah, it's a great story.
We were taping, and my mic was off because how would you know?
How would you know? Yeah.
You wouldn't.
No lights.
And so then we restarted, and the person that I was taping with was making faces to Gibbe, so I decided to – add in, hey, wouldn't it have been a lot easier if there was an on-off light here and I would have known?
Yeah.
So then we had to, like, restart the whole thing again.
Here's the problem.
We're talking about 15
seconds.
No one
ever knows if Zagura doesn't say anything.
Of course not.
I can edit everything.
But I was saying it to be fun and to
need. Sure.
Tyvus came out of Saturday's show requesting an on-off light because every time Gibbe would have to come in and be like, oh, you're not on. Well, how would I know?
How would I know? Yeah, wouldn't know.
So anyway, so when that happens, I turn around. And Griff, they're giving me crap.
Yeah.
And then Griff mouths to me like, what the fudge?
Not nice words.
Griff. So then I leap out of my chair.
We're not having that.
What the fudge right back at you, my friend.
Every time you do that, I get nervous.
Straight in.
Very scared.
Very nervous every time you
straight in there. erase his four up arrows, huge down arrow. And he knew it. He knew it. And then we made amends. And in fact, what's so hurtful right now, why I'm honestly crying inside.
Yeah.
Not
I can
outwardly
tell, I can
yet.
Tell.
But
you don't hold your emotions well. You can
no,
feel
I,
it. I can see the emotions.
I don't have the eighth wall or whatever that they use in Japan to protect the emotions nobody gets to know
nobody
about.
Gets to
I didn't
know
have
about,
I didn't, the eighth fence.
That's the eighth it, fence. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that. So I went to lunch, and when we came back, I told Griff, I said, look back at the board.
Yeah.
And tell me what you see in the Griff area on the board. Bro.
Yep.
I had erased the
I
down
had glare,
arrow.
So I can't see it.
And I put all four of his up arrows back.
Oh, you had made amends.
And he said, why'd you do that? And I said, because I love you, Griff. And he said back to me, I love you too.
Nice.
And so here we sit now.
And now.
With this. It's outrageous.
Sad. It is outrageous.
I don't know how to feel. Not good. I can tell you that. I know how I don't feel. I don't feel good. So what happened?
Griff, I'm going to need an explanation myself because I was
Udo
busy.
Udo speaking for Griff.
I have no idea. Right.
Give him the microphone.
Your representation.
Hand him the microphone.
Come on, Griff.
He's not doing it.
Nope.
No, he doesn't do it. That's not his style.
But we need to.
He does Griff Fact of the Day.
Which is outrageous.
It's kind of a funny
ask,
bit.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I
ask like Griff. Griff, at least just tell your mouthpiece here. Tell him what. Why. You really wrote that? No. Oh.
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 Well. And so are the days of our lives.
So right, who wrote it in there? Put your hand up if you wrote the Zagura down arrow. So nobody
exactly
did
what
it.
I would have expected.
Nobody did it. That's weird. Because the pen's not alive.
Whoa. Oh.
Good thing it was empty.
No lid.
Good thing it was empty.
No lid. Oh my God. So close. Oh, and a miss.
Pick it up
that's
later.
Dude, you missed that's a cap already.
Pick it up, pick it up later, Gibbe.
Through a train wreck.
This is what happens 3 hours like, no
well,
picks.
And I'm shook right now.
You're shook.
Now
you got down arrows.
Nobody will oh even, it, but nobody will attest to it.
Your pet's heads are falling off stage yeah. right now.
I know you didn't do it.
No, I didn't. It's not me. It's not me who did it.
Gibbe, look at his eyes.
He's got the, well, he has tyranny in him.
I just know that there was a ranking set up there, and it needed to be put back up to remind people that the beatings will continue until morale improves.
All I want to know is, Griff, do we stand where I thought we stood?
Good. Is it yes?
Yeah.
Affirmative?
By the way, you know what's amazing about Gibbe is it turns out when Mo Pedman's cousin comes in here,
okay,
Gibbe likes to become my ally.
Oh, he's anti.
And we take it to him, and it's so fun.
It's so fun.
I'm like, oh, my God, you're such a great ally. It would be fun if we could do that more often. And then as soon as Mo Pedman leaves, right back to tearing me down. But while he's here,
all
it's like
it.
we're like an unholy
That's
alliance.
Fantastic. That is fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Oh, back man. To our regularly
So we started
program.
By giving yeah. him credit for the Mike Hall pick.
Yeah.
And that's the way that works. So Mike, he falls to 54. What I texted you as soon as I saw it, and I'm sure you said similar on the, it really reminded me a little bit of the Thanos pick. Like there were times when Mike, I do that three things.
Yeah.
For Ohio, after Ohio State football game, have for 15 years now. And the first thing is always your table is ready. It's the guy who's the best player. Like you go ahead, your table's ready. There's no reason to wait on your reservation. You're good. Mike Hall got it a bunch. There were times when there are more than one occasion where he was the best player on the field, full stop. He was unblockable at times. But there were snap count things that were kind of weird. Like, why isn't he playing every down? What are we doing?
Yeah.
That type of stuff. There was some inconsistency where it's like, oh yeah, Mike Hall's on the team. Like what happened here? He's as twitchy as anybody you will find. He just is. He has elite traits. It'll just be about the consistency part of it. He is one of few who decided to go out. Almost all of the rest of that junior class stayed at Ohio State. He's one of the few to go out. He gets to stay home. There were personal stuff with that, with him deciding to come out. He obviously a young child, I think, is on the way or has already been had. So there's all of these factors. It was pure joy to see him land here.
And he was thrilled about it.
Yes.
And certainly so are we. I mean, you gave a very good scouting report, and I think – you know, when you hear Jim Schwartz and see how excited he was.
Yeah.
When we were doing the show Friday night, we knew that we had picked a defense player because Jim Schwartz came out prior to the pick being officially announced, because we shut off all our social. We did not want anything spoiled So we are finding out in real time. Because otherwise, it's annoying.
Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah. You don't. Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. That's a smart way to do
that. So we saw him come out smiling. We're like, it must be a defensive guy. And then sure enough, it was Mike Hall Jr. My buddy Cleve T.A. retweeted defensive tackle pressure rate and time to pressure data from last season in college football. The highest pressure rate amongst all interior defensive linemen last year was Byron Murphy, who went in the first round. Then there was Newton from Illinois, and then Orohoro from Clemson, and then it was Michael Hall. Now, so he was fourth in pressure rate, but it's a graph, and so the y-axis is actually, the x-axis, I'm sorry, is actually time to the pressure. Michael Hall had the fastest time to pressure of any defensive tackle in college football last year, under 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Byron Murphy was at 3.4 seconds, for example, who went in the first round. So Michael Hall generated his pressures on average in under 3 seconds. Chris Jenkins at Michigan and Orohoro, they're both at 4 seconds. That's an extra second in the pocket. Maybe in college football that works, but in the NFL, maybe not.
Yep.
He can get to the quarterback quickly. And so up the field, rusher, and I think that stat tells you exactly why they're so excited. Imagine if you're a quarterback and you have nowhere to step up against Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and Oboe and Alex Wright, all those guys screaming off the edge because you've got this guy in your face collapsing the pocket and potentially sacking you in his own right in under 3 seconds.
Yep.
So that's why they liked him. The Browns were, they started getting calls 20 minutes before they were on the clock about that pick number 54.
Yep.
They had at least 8 calls while they were on the clock for that pick, offering pretty enticing things for them to move around. This was a team that absolutely wanted to get into the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
They had plenty of opportunity to do so, but ultimately they felt the way their board fell, they were so set on making Mike Hall a Cleveland Brown that they refused the opportunity to move and stayed there and took him.
I loved it. I loved it. Did you get a chance to get him in studio over the weekend? Did you guys get a chance?
Gibbe got to talk to him for the BPA.
Oh, the BPA.
BPA.
Fantastic.
Zagura had a chance to stick around, but he chose not to.
Well, after the, 3 hours was more like 3 days.
No picks.
I was happy to pillage it and put it on the BPA.
He's great.
Well, the good news is he's really good. You did it, so it's, you can also air on this platform. That's after true. The BPA goes.
No, but he's good. He's really cool. And then Zach Zinner comes off Michigan, the All-American. The injury happens, but he's as steady as you're going to get. And that's as good a few. I mean, you think about Whipler and him.
Well, I think you're going to have Whipler. You're going to have Whipler, Zinter, DeJuan Jones all on rookie deals.
Yeah.
Starting on your offensive line probably in a year or two.
Yeah.
And that's going to allow you to spend money elsewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
And you are going to need to have that flexibility. I mean, we've talked about it for years. There's no scenario in which Paul DePodesta and Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Beer, when they get together and they're like, okay, roster construction, salary cap, here's where we're going to allocate our resources. They have $24 million a year going to their starting guards. Both of them making 12.
No.
They're both in the top six in our salary cap hit this year. That's not how they do it. So this is a draft pick that you hope doesn't play this year. Maybe not even next year, but in 26, when you're going to have to make some decisions, then you have somebody who can step in there. You know, Joel Bitonio was drafted in 2014. This is the 10th anniversary of his draft.
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared for those things. He is everything, I think, that you want. 6'6", 322, mauler, good in pass pro.
Yep.
I mean, anybody who watched Michigan play this year, they played bully ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big part of
that. They threw it 8
line.
Times against Penn State and won.
And won.
Yeah. All right, we talked a little bit about Nathaniel Watson.
You know, real quick, though, when you say that, you know, they only threw it 8 times and they won, I still think maybe the most stupefying stat in perhaps recent history, I don't want to get carried away, is that the Raiders on Christmas Day beat the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City without completing a pass after the first quarter.
I wonder where that would be interesting to watch how.
They had back-to-back defensive touchdowns, I think, at one point. They scored twice.
You just wonder how Kansas City was so completely inept.
It was Christmas. Maybe they're just like, let's get home.
Vegas.
Let's get a prime rib.
Maybe just Vegas.
It was home.
It was home. That's right. It was
Kansas
City. It was freezing in Kansas City.
In Kansas City.
That's right. Yeah. That's what made me waver on my not picking them. I had them losing.
Of course, that's why everybody
one
did.
Game. I can't remember which one. I think it was their first playoff game. I had them losing. Were they at Buffalo?
No, Steelers opened at Buffalo. They were home against Miami.
No, I wouldn't have picked that. And I know.
And
I
then
picked
I think
them,
you had them. Losing.
I picked them beating Baltimore.
Then it was.
So who would they? No, that's not
then
right.
Buffalo in the second round. Right?
Buffalo in the second round. Yeah.
Okay.
In Buffalo.
So that's
in
the
Buffalo.
One I had them to lose. I had them losing that one, and then I'm like, I'm never doing it again. I picked them the rest of the
way. Well, Andy Reid said that game is why they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Crazy.
But that's. I mean, what would the odds have been?
A billion to one.
If it said right, you
billion.
You take the Raiders, and you only they have to win the game, and they can't complete a pass after the first quarter. Yeah, a billion to one.
No. What can you tell me about Jamari Thrash? I didn't see a lot of Louisville football this year, the wide receiver in the fifth round. Are there traits that we like?
Neither did I. CBS loved the pick, and so did Steve Smith Sr. CBS said, big-time sleeper, sleek frame, provided to be a three-level winner at Louisville. Quickness shines, has deceptive long speed, will make defenders miss in space with great regularity. Some drops, though, and that was a little bit of a concern with him. The player comp they gave was Dede Westbrook. Last year, 63 catches, 858 yards, 6 touchdowns. He had at Georgia State the year before over 1,200 yards. So good top-end speed, 4.46 40. You hope that he's a guy that maybe can take the top-off defense, and my guess is he's going to have to show some ability in the return game, either stopping people or carrying the football himself. But that's who Jamari Thrash is. People like that pick. Dane Brugler said that was his favorite pick that the Browns made, as a matter of fact, was Jamari Thrash. So there were some people who definitely liked that pick for the Cleveland Browns. And I think, as we talked about, it's a long road to go for him to be able to get, into a position of prominence. But has some ability. The year before at Georgia State, he was first team all SBC, led the SBC in receiving yards, 1,122 yards, 7 touchdowns, 18.4 yards a catch. So that's where he started. And then ended up at Louisville, second team all ACC.
Miles Harden, cornerback out of South Dakota in the seventh round, and then Juwan Briggs, defensive tackle out of Cincinnati.
Harden's an interesting one. So this is a guy, smaller school, right? Obviously, it's South Dakota, 6 foot.
National champs?
Yeah.
South Dakota, the Jackrabbits.
People like him.
That's Dane South says, Dakota State.
Oh, shoot. University of South Dakota. What are they?
Coyotes.
Coyotes.
God, Uno. That's a
Coyotes
incredible.
And Jackrabbits. Yeah. And then NDSU is Bison. And UND used to be fighting Sioux, but now I think they're fighting Hawks.
I think that's right. I'm not sure on North Dakota's, but I know the other three.
Good correction there, Uno.
In his last 19 games, 4 picks, 16 passes, defensed 4 forced fumbles. He is, and this is what Dane says, NFL quality fluidity and ball skills. He can handle coverage duties for multiple techniques, inside or outside, has the traits to earn a starting nickel job as a rookie. Plays quick, confident, roughneck competitor in both coverage and run support. This is one that I know internally they got a lot of very good draft grades around the league for where the Browns were able to get him in the seventh round. Dane had a fifth round grade on him. They had a starter grade on him at CBS. The pro comparison was Nate Hobbs, which would be great. So they like him. And I think, again, you're looking at right now you have the only slots you have where Greg and Cam Mitchell. This gives you another guy to be in that nickel line, whether it be for this year or for the future if configurations have to change.
Enough from the clown. Down Arrowgate. This is outrageous.
Yes, he's
our great Big B has been viciously attacked on Browns Daily. Down Arrow Board. An investigation must be commenced. Suspicion is cast over Gibbe.
I mean, enough with the clown.
He's on it.
He's so spot on. I would say his analysis, his comments are incredibly valued and typically hit the nail on the head. Wouldn't you?
I would.
I
agree with all that.
If we're reading an enough from the clown comment, it is typically it's typically perfect. By the way, Brown's therapy is unhappy. Said, who's insulting the franchise? I want names.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get, don't worry, we're going to sort it all out.
There's two B's in Gibbs, Browns therapy. When you make the checkout.
I don't know of all the people to attack Gibbe.
Man.
So culpable.
I love
so
how he
capable.
Says suspicion is cast over you.
Suspicion is cast. That is great.
Yeah.
Uno's former classmates at Baldwin Wallace who were featured in The Beast are unsigned as of UDFAs to this point. DJ Griffiths and Darius Stokes. However, did you have one drafted? Your favorite player in the draft was drafted, Uno?
Yeah, the running back from New
Hampshire. I'm sorry that you're eating in the middle of the show.
Dylan Lauby.
We're on the air. You can't be snacking on the air.
It's my lunch. I didn't get to eat it. I had a
show to put together.
Your lunch
is between noon and one. What are you talking about? This is the show.
Griff is managing eight tasks.
Is that a
he's already
from Griff
eaten
in the back.
Yeah, he's already
like
eaten.
Yeah, he cackled.
I like a Griff cackle in the back.
I saw your food in this studio at like 12:40.
Hey, I got something I want to run by you.
Please.
So we had the lacrosse Saturday in Sandusky at their sport park up there, and they had a food truck, and it was a taco food truck.
You already have me excited.
So I ordered it, got some for NBC and Beamsy, and we were crushing some tacos at lunch in between games. And I've come to the conclusion that, first of all, I love all food trucks. I feel like almost all of my food truck experience has been sensational. This was as well. I feel like the taco food truck is the most I am exposed in terms of what can be done with a type of food versus what I attempt to do at home. I cannot land the plane on a street truck, street food taco the way I can't get there.
Yes, you can.
I don't know how I can't.
Yes, you can.
This was so good.
I'm going to help you.
They had the chopped in, like jalapenos were chopped in the ground beef with other things.
Sure.
They had it all kind of in there.
And you need to have
there.
The onion chopped with the cilantro chopped in together.
It was all in there.
Because that's all it is. It's
you
just
need
a little
flat top.
Tortilla.
The
and then
flat
you
know, top and the
a griddle.
I get that. Yeah, I got a griddle. Maybe I need to use it in a different way. Or maybe the other issue is maybe it's just for when you're doing it for a family of five, which is what all of my cooking is for. Maybe it's just not worth
the
squeeze.
Right.
But like spectacular. Spectacular. They crush
it. I love a taco. You know this.
Of course.
Who doesn't?
But it just feels like if I see street food truck taco, I go there, they crush it.
Are you aware of the Lakewood Truck Park or the Beachwood Truck Park?
Dude, no. I'm aware of the distance from my house to a lacrosse practice field.
Okay.
And an occasional trip to the club to play seven holes like I did Sunday. That's what I'm familiar
with. Seven.
I played seven holes on Saturday.
You got seven in set? Yeah.
I convinced Bryce El Boods to come with me to the golf course. Yeah. He did not want to hit, no interest in hitting any shots.
So he would have done great with Zago.
He drove, yes, would have been perfect.
Yeah.
He drove the cart, drove me around.
Yeah.
And I played, we had to skip two holes to get ahead of some people. Yep. And we did it in 45 minutes and seven holes.
Yeah, for sure.
And he was pleased that it was as quick as it was.
we were slightly different. We ran up on a foursome on two, and
did they say go ahead?
They did not.
What about
and
the crutch?
They were young. They were younger kids.
Ugh.
And dude, they must have been playing the Ryder Cup because it was an every putt out. We're gonna look at everything. And NBC and I are sitting in the fairway, going like, "Come on, let's go, through." And so I'm like, "Oh, I'm not gonna sit here." He's like, "Dad, this is a great drive. I gotta play this drive." I'm like, "I'm not sitting here, dude." Waiting on this.
No.
Like, we're gone. We'll go find something else. So we went around. I'm like,
they people need to let you play through.
They should have.
You're a
twosome. They're a four. But I don't know if they knew etiquette, but like, we should have just. So I just drove around.
Well,
like,
I'll give you good etiquette for things like that.
Because there was nobody on the next
There's
two
a
holes.
Warning shot that gets piped down the middle. And
the
we
day
eliminated
that you
12
are the day that you are the arbiter of etiquette is a day that our society will collapse.
Falls to the ground.
I'm just telling you, that's what we did yesterday. There were no rules, and it got to the point. Like,
was there a place to go, or were they stacked up too?
Did he get an "I'm gosh darn mad" now?
Oftentimes,
there was nowhere to go for a while, and then it opened up.
Yeah,
and we could tell because coming back, like, they were on the green. Other group of the other hole, the group in front of us is now playing like they're playing Augusta.
Oh, yeah.
Time to fire a warning shot, kids.
Just fire
it. Pick it up. Let's go.
Move it along. Hey, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I noticed it was a big point of emphasis. This was the first time that I played, and big point of emphasis about playing the proper – play it forward. Play the proper tees for your handicap. This is where you should
be. Absolutely.
And that – and, in fact, there was actually – they were building new tees, like, way up. Way up, which I thought, that's great.
Senior, junior.
Well, we have all that, but then they were like even, there were some that they were like in the fairway. I said, that's great.
Are they just let people start on the green, like see if they can win the Masters?
Who cares? As long as it goes faster. Right. That's all I want. I just want it going faster is my whole operation.
Tequila.
Look at them. Hey, are you guys, the boys are wrecked by the allergies, and they usually don't get them. And I've had it. I talked about it last week. I've had a little bit of a runny nose, kind of a scratchy throat for like a week.
I've had some eyes.
My eyes a little bit burny.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They were in the worst mood, all of them today, going back to school. Like all of their standardized testing's done. It's gorgeous outside. So we're in the car. I've taken NBC to school, and he's just pissed the whole time. And he's
Bootsy
just complaining.
Just wants to live. He's out there making. You sent me a video of lacrosse that was.
Oh, yeah. He now owns.
Do you get a hockey assist there?
Well,
he was the scorer.
He's the scorer. No, but his buddy Benny on the assist. So, you get to.
But one person passed it. It was a two-pass.
Two-pass, yeah. So you would.
And then he threw a rocket.
It's a rocket, yeah. Yeah, I told you to tell Miss Kay that there is new ownership of the Chagrin Falls field.
The landlord.
Yeah, you're going to be
it's
paying
like
him rent.
The failed Latrell Sprewell campaign.
Yeah, so he had that. He did get bludgeoned by a teammate in the line. A teammate punched him through his lacrosse helmet. To where
on purpose?
I guess. It was some sort of something. I don't know what happened. So that was a point of contention over the weekend.
Well, it certainly seems like over on the monkey bars, he sorted things out.
So Sunday we were playing, or Beamsy was playing, and it was pretty lopsided. Our coach does a good job of making sure that other kids get to eat when it gets that way. And I lost track of him. My wife, Amy, and I both lost track of him. And I looked over, and he was on – it's actually a chute for, like, football blocking, but it looks like monkey bars.
Okay.
So I look over there. I sent you the picture, and it's him with, what, four chicks?
Yeah, just hanging out.
Hat backwards. No big deal, Dad. Just chilling. Where's Bootsy? Ah,
there he is.
That's where he
is. Beating the neighbors, spread a little love.
So they were all. He's gonna have a big day today because, as you know, we opened the pool on Sunday, but no one's was in it because it was like 57 degrees. So it's heated throughout the night, and now it's up to pace. It's critical for him that he's first in every year. Like I have a video that I shoot every year of him being the first one in the pool.
Is my brother's the same home? Way in our pool. Has to be the first.
He
every
has
year.
To be the first.
Is he going
to
beat you home, though?
No, I'll beat him home. Okay. They don't know how to take the cover off.
Okay.
Perfect. So, and I like the joy that he gets of being the first. So his brothers are trying to intercept him this year. They've gotten word they want to try to intercept his joy. I'm not going to allow that.
He's
not
be a thief of joy.
So, no. So if they think they can get in, I'm going to say, it's too cold. It's way too cold. And then I'm going to let him have his moment, which will be the sprint down and jumping in. So he'll get his big moment.
I expect to see the video later today.
I can show you the one from last year.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I mean, this is.
I feel like he and I were related in a past life.
There's no doubt that it's – there are too many similarities. There's too much – here you go. This is last year.
We both have great personal codes.
You have great moral compass. This is last year.
Look at Buddy Garrity, joyous as well. There he goes.
Just jumps in.
He's like, maybe a cannonball, then, no, we're just going right in.
He just goes, it's not that cold. It's like at 88.
Good job out of you.
Yeah, that's it. So that's what he's got to do.
Beautiful.
That's what he's got to do today, to try to be the first one in. We were on the way to school. They're all pissed off, sourpussed, having to go. Beautiful day. Who wants to go to school? Trying to find ways out of it. NBC is complaining the whole time. He's like, "Well, do you like school?" And I said, "Well, no, I didn't." He goes, "Well, did you have fun classes?" I said, "Yeah, I did advanced PE in high school. That was fun." But the high school football coach just made up games and played. He's like, "Well, I can't do that. I can't do anything." And I'm like, "Well, look, you're acquiring an education. This is about getting smarter, more well-rounded, like." That's what this is about. He's like, I know, but it sucks. And then he goes, well, what would you want me to aspire to be? That's what he said to me. And I go, I don't know, something grand, something great. Like, what do you want to do? He was like, what? Like, do you want me to be the president? And I said, sure, yeah, that's great. Aspire to be the president of the United States. And he goes, well, what does that job even pay? And I go, I think like $300,000 or $400,000. And there's a beat. And then he goes, to run America? Our GDP is $33 trillion. I go,
wait,
all of it.
He had the GDP at the ready?
He had the GDP at the ready. I go, do you even know what GDP is? Gross domestic product. What do you think we're learning? I go, well, it's all working,
it's working.
I guess, then. Yeah, but he made a grant to run America.
It's outrageous.
We ought to up that a little bit.
Yeah.
I go, what do you think a figure would be? He goes, I don't know, a half a billion?
Yeah.
He said, probably fair.
There are probably perks to the job.
Well, that's what I explained.
Add up to that.
Yeah, there's a ton of perks. You write the book afterwards and all of that. But in the moment, yes, probably underpaid.
Well, you're flying private everywhere.
You are. Still probably underpaid.
Significantly so.
Significantly so. Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll go over some of the grades from around the draft. It was interesting how several people held us not having a first-round pick as a part of the grade.
Yeah, they gave us
talked to somebody this morning who did
an
that,
F,
too.
An F for the first round. Like, okay.
I guess so. We're off and running here on a Reaction Monday edition, Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Hey, it's Bo here for the James B. Beam Distilling Company. Some say that rye whiskey is having a moment. Well, Overholt has been having their moment for over 200 years. The legacy continues today with A. Overholt, the latest chapter in their ever-evolving story of American rye. You can get this. This is on shelves. It hit last week throughout Ohio. It's around $40. It's a spectacular bottle of rye. Taste what two centuries of experience can make, a robust Pennsylvania-style rye whiskey. The newest thing in rye is also the oldest thing in rye, and it's available now. You can scoop that up. I wanted to do this.
Yes.
Because we were talking about the draft grades.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Draft grade, C- is the draft grade on this. Here's the analysis.
Okay.
Calling fill-in-the-blank a project is a major understatement. He's nowhere near ready to play in the NFL, and honestly may never be. Between his inconsistent accuracy due to poor mechanics, his tendency to bail from clean pockets, and his lack of field vision, he's going to leave as many big plays on the field as he creates. This was a risky pick.
Patrick Mahomes.
That is correct. That is correct.
I saw that.
Nobody knows anything.
No, the point,
nobody knows.
Listen, let's see how it all works out. What you do know is that your general manager, Andrew Berry, has done a pretty good job in the later rounds in his draft classes. And guess what? He's done a really good job in the second round. This is his third second-round pick. His other two second-round picks, Grant Delpit,
yep.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So done pretty well there. And he's done very well finding contributors in the later rounds. So I do think that it is – it's – you have to do it, just like you do power rankings right now. But you really don't know on a draft class or a prospect for a couple of years.
No. No. And it's such a mindset difference. I had so many people coming up to me Saturday when we were at the lacrosse asking about, well, what did you think of the draft? What did you think of the draft? I'm like, I would just give like my opinion on Hall and Zinter, which are very high on both. But the part of it, at one point I stopped one of them and I said, you've got to change the way you view the draft because of the situation of our roster.
Right.
Okay. You're not in a position now, especially without a first round pick. First of all, you don't need anybody. You could go right now and be one of the best teams in the AFC.
Yes.
Provided Sean,
correct.
You're ready to go right now. And honestly, with Jameis, you'd be fine. You could hang with anybody in the AFC as constructed right now. So
yes.
That's something that like Browns fans have to – you got to wrap your head around that the roster is really good and deep. So you're drafting for different things now. This is a position good teams are in. Steelers did this forever. They draft an outside linebacker, and he wouldn't play, and then 2 years – Lawrence Timmons was a first-round guy they drafted. There's a ton of guys that they would draft, and you'd wait, and then all of a sudden they'd land, and you – oh, well, that's why,
yep.
Because they're planning for when Lamar Woodley
– leaves.
Leaves. That's yep. The point. So – that's kind of the mentality, I think, that you got to kind of get around.
Well, yeah, I'm curious. And tonight we're doing a draft review show. Yep. That'll be 7 o'clock on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And, you know, I'm going to ask.
Is that an hour?
That is 1 hour.
Yep.
I'm going to ask whether or not we have, you know, maximized our assets. That's what he said, maximize our resources. Did he feel that he did that? And then it's succession planning. That's what a lot of what this thing is.
It absolutely is. Dane wasn't crazy.
No.
Which is rare for him.
Yeah.
Usually he and our front office seem to be simpatico. Not the case here. He ranked us 30 out of 32. I had a guy on this morning, USA Today, that had us D-plus draft grade. So there's some of that that's out there, certainly. But, again, this is all in the eye of the beholder, and it's all for situational lead, and you're looking for traits. I saw a lot of us in the C range, C+, Chad Reuter with that of NFL.com. I did think it was odd, like he did this. He gave us a D in the first round because we don't have a first round pick. And it's like, well, I don't, wouldn't that be incomplete?
Question, did he also then give us in the fourth and fifth rounds, from the case of Za'Darius Smith, in the case of, fifth and sixth rounds, Jerry Jeudy? Did he give us credit for those?
It doesn't appear. Well, I don't know. I guess he has day two A-, day three A-. So maybe he did. I don't know.
Okay.
Dane's favorite pick from us was Jamari Thrash, who you talked about a little bit earlier. He writes, this is from Dane, with limited draft capital, including zero picks in the top 50, it was going to be tough for the Browns to rank very high on the list. They drafted two risky yet promising players in Mike Hall and Zach Zinter, but their third pick was probably my favorite of the bunch. Thrash is a twitchy athlete with natural receiving instincts that serve him well as a three-level threat. So there you go.
There you go.
Day three pick who could surprise. He liked Nathaniel Watson.
Yep.
The Browns added Jordan Hicks, Devin Bush. I forget we have Devin Bush.
Yeah. But he's lighter. He's a smaller.
He is. But I just forget big. That, yeah. I forget that he's on this roster too. But the future of the Mike LB position is a question mark. Watson might be able to fill that role because of his quick reaction skills, tackling ability. He racked up 250 total tackles over the last two seasons. That quickness downhill allowed him to make numerous plays at the line or in the backfield. Nathaniel Watson's like one of those guys that, like, 15 years ago is a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, well, remember the Patriots, like Hightower and those guys? Like, they drafted those big Alabama linebackers?
Yeah.
That's he's a
that
two type
down
of thing.
Thumper, and yeah. And he can be a blitzer in what we do.
Yeah, so there you go on that, my friend. Do you have something to tell us about the WWE?
Of course I do.
The World Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready, because WWE SummerSlam is coming to Cleveland Brown Stadium on Saturday, August the 3rd, and tickets are going on sale 10 a.m. Eastern next Thursday, May the 9th. So it's time. It's here, and it's going to be massive. You think of, like, the hierarchy of all the WWE shows.
How many nights
shows,
is SummerSlam?
One night.
Oh.
WrestleMania, SummerSlam is number two. This is the biggest show in the middle of the year. You can visit clevelandbrowns.com/WWE SummerSlam for more information. And here's a little secret for you. Next Wednesday, May the 8th, we will have an exclusive Cleveland Browns daily pre-sale code to share with you. So SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer. You don't want to miss it. The Miz. Oh, baby. It's going to be a happening monsoon.
Where would you want to sit? Where's it to? If I ever were to go to one of these events and take the children, where would I want to be?
So I haven't seen the configuration, but for a stadium show, you either want to be in the front row or the first few rows, or you want to be as close as you can be on a riser where you don't want to be like floor row. If there aren't risers, you don't want to be floor row 20. You won't be able to see. Your kids won't be able to see anything. So you either need to be right in front, or you need to be on as close as you can be, but
on a lift.
Once you get
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. All right. We'll take a look at some of the NFL news from around the weekend coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, and live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Don't miss Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together for the first time ever. It's Friday, September 13th.
SummerSlam was
so
big.
We got August 3rd, September 13th, and we also have Hackney Diamonds. We have Stones.
The Stones.
As well. It's all coming to town. Tickets are on sale now. Visit ClevelandBrownsStadium.com/BillyandRod2024.
Billy and Rod 2024.
It's Billy Joel. It's Rod Stewart. It's
one night only.
That's it. Lots of TV news on the NFL side of things. I see this at the bottom. I'm going to put it at the top editorially. The NFL and CBS making two. They're going Phil Sims, Boomer Esiason out, Matt Ryan in. So it'll be James Brown, Matt Ryan, Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, and J.J. Watt part-time will be that crew. And I'm just seeing this as a report. Jason Kelsey's going to join ESPN's
Monday
Night. Yes,
Andrew Marchand in the last 10 minutes. It looks like Kelsey's going to Monday Night Countdown.
Oh, to Countdown. Okay, yeah. Because there's no way Buck's putting him in with Buck and Aikman aren't putting him on that.
I believe it's Countdown.
Yeah.
It's either Sunday NFL Countdown or Monday night. It was still developing. He was still getting additional details. But Kelsey,
was the Judge Bill Pito there? This is a developing situation.
Developing situation. Yeah.
I like the Judge Bill Pito.
I did too. Yeah. Here's the. I was surprised about. So Phil Sims is a lot older than I thought. He's 68.
Yeah.
Which I guess he has to be. Because
it used to be Sims and Nance.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was Sims and Nance, yep. And then they went Romo. But you got to get younger. Like, you can't can't do that forever. So Boomer's still going to do his WFAN morning show in New York.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do – I don't. This seems like it was not his choice.
No,
and I actually think he's really good. I think he's good on games, too. Does he still do Westwood One?
I don't think so.
Is he Monday Night Football? He used to be Monday Night Football on Westwood One.
I don't think he's doing
it. Was it
them.
Sunday night on Westwood One? I think it was Sunday night because he would – Real Sports followed him once and basically was like, this dude goes from like – no, I think it's Monday because he did NFL Sunday all day. Then he does his morning show, then goes to the – or that night flies, and then he flies red-eye back and does his morning show in New York City.
I don't think he's doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. Might get back into it now that he's being forced out.
I'm sure he's okay financially.
Something tells me he's all right.
Yeah. I think he's done okay. Matt Ryan, I've never really heard him. I have no idea if he'd be good at this.
He was like in the three-man booth last year, right, for some of those games.
Do you even remember him, though?
Yeah, I remember some guy gave him a crack about being 28-3
in
one of the broadcasts.
That's right.
He was with Andrew Catalan. I was the play-by-play guy in that booth, I believe. I don't remember who the third commentator was, but it was the Catalan booth.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's so little to do on those network studio shows. You get like a 15-second soundbite, and it's on to the next.
Yeah.
So there's not much to do there.
Pays well.
So I was explaining to somebody this morning about that. Like, aside from the top team, those are the best jobs in network NFL. Are the Sunday studio shows are the best gigs financially. All right, a couple of other things. Ezekiel Elliott, we're expected to re-sign with the Cowboys this week. Our guy Jarvis Landry going to try out with the Jaguars at their upcoming rookie minicamp. Wonder if Juice still has some juice.
I didn't realize veterans could try out at rookie minicamps.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. If you're not signing, come. It's amazing to me that that's where I still thought he had some juice, no pun intended. I know he went down to New Orleans, got hurt, but yeah, I love Jarvis. He clearly still has the hunger. Jacksonville will probably be a pretty good landing spot for him.
Yeah. He'll catch it if you throw it to him. It his way, he'll catch it. That part we know. Former Jets first-round pick Mekhi Becton signing a one-year deal with the Eagles. Remember, that was the five-tackle draft where all those Jed was in that draft. And
Andrew Thomas, who's turned out to be incredible.
Very good.
Tristan Wirfs has turned out to be very, very good.
Yep.
Jed has been solid.
Yep.
Becton, not as solid.
Was Becton first off, or was
Thomas?
Thomas was first off. So Thomas, Becton, Jed, Wirfs.
Yeah. Was there one more? I think it was maybe four.
Wirfs went before Jed went before Becton.
That's what. Oh, Jed
Wirfs.
Went before.
It was
Jed
Thomas,
was
Jed.
Off.
Yeah, Thomas.
Then Mekhi, then Wirfs.
Yes.
Okay. You're like a little ombudsman today. It's a good job out of you, and I'm having all your facts at the ready.
Thank you.
I used to love when ESPN would have their ombudsman write some article about them. I'm like, what is.
About how they suck?
Why am I reading this?
My favorite was there was one guy who did it was George Solomon.
Yeah.
Who was the former editor of the Washington Post sports section when they had like Kornheiser and Wilbon and Boswell and. All those guys were writing for it, and then they would pay him to like critique ESPN, which was like so great. Like that's what I think that's what I'm going to change.
There was
my
well,
role.
There was a late. It was a lady for a while at ESPN too.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's usually most times it was like a Washington Post, New York Times sports editor or news editor who then would come on and like
ombudsman
them. Yeah, which is pretty good.
It's really more like that's such a fancy word for basically criticizing. The processes that were in place.
Well, I think, right, and I also think it basically PTI does it, and they just call it Stat Boy.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Stat Uno.
Stat Uno. He nailed it. The Bengals are moving former first-round pick Dax Hill to corner this season instead of safety.
Right, we knew that.
We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, because the they did that once they signed Von Bell and Geno Stone.
Yep, so that had to happen. All right, Donald Mitchell, this is he was the Georgia product who transferred to Texas last year. So he wins the national championship in Georgia, transfers out, NIL over to Texas, and is on the Texas team with Quinn Ewers. He's one of their better receivers this year on that team. Colts pick him in the second round. Apparently there were naysayers. I'm unaware.
So there were some concerns. Just like there were quotes emerged with Mike Hall.
I see.
Okay. Who knows?
Who knows? So here is Colts general manager Chris Ballard on those naysayers.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the bull that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language, our typical league, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such bull. I mean, it is. It's bull. Like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year. It's bull. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
I don't. Like, that's, yeah,
I don't.
Very purposeful.
But I do. Yeah.
Yeah. You never know on this stuff, man. Sometimes it comes home to roost, sometimes it doesn't.
I think a lot of it has to be, listen, we're talking about 20-year-old, 21-year-old, 22-year-old kids who are going to be, once they sign a pick, in once they get signed, drafted, especially in an early round, they're millionaires.
Yep.
And you have to go back now and say, okay, these guys in high school were probably big men on campus.
Yeah.
Then they go to college. Mm-hmm. They were big men on campus. Now they're getting money in college for NIL.
Yep.
And now they're coming into the NFL. I think the people that were totally just not fazed by that and normal are maybe just as potentially concerned as the people that were, you know?
Like, so, too much.
Right. Yeah. Like, you have to expect that. And one of the joys I've had in my time in this organization is seeing some of these young guys who came in and were very young and age appropriate given their circumstances mature into, you know, leading men. And I would say David Njoku and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah are two great examples of that here with the Cleveland Browns in recent history. The fact that you expect a 20-year-old who has been idolized, I would have to say, for his entire period as a mature or maturing adult, that you expect them to just be like all choir boys is nuts.
What did you do when you were 20?
I was in college. But,
right. No, that's my point. Yeah. Right. And anyone out there writing it or being critical, what were you doing at 19, 20?
Having a good time.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. That's it. I have one other thing I want to add to that. We're going to do it coming up next in the second hour of the program because there is a specific player who what was held against him many, many moons ago came home to roost in the late rounds of the draft. Second hour of the program up next, Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily. Reaction Monday edition, we were talking about how things were held against kids. A decent example is, and I have no way of knowing anything about the character of someone of what they've grown into, but you talked about things being held against them as a 20-year-old. We talked about the gap between quarterbacks picked in the draft, which you said was the largest gap we've ever had from quarterbacks from the sixth in the first round until Spencer Rattler in the fifth. Well, Rattler was one of these guys that was held against. And one of the things that was held against him is he was on the show QB1, which was an Amazon Prime quarterback show years ago, and he behaved like a petulant little jerk, quite honestly.
He's in high school.
Yeah, and he was also like, one of these.
To me, what would be more relevant is, was he a jerk also in college?
And if so, Shane Beamer, who's his coach at South Carolina, was pissed about it and said it was ridiculous. I don't know about Lincoln. I don't know what it was like at Oklahoma. But it followed him through college for sure. And it was one of those things where, like, I mean, I talk about it all the time. You be around youth sports and you see the way parents act and the way that they prop kids up. I see it for kids who aren't going to amount to anything athletically. You imagine if you got a hold of a parent who's a lunatic, whose kid is supremely talented, where that goes?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you greenlight something and go, hey, he's going to be on an Amazon Prime documentary. This is great. Let's do it. And then all of a sudden it's exposed and you brought up in a world where you do no wrong. You're entitled. I mean, that dude, I go to youth basketball tournaments. There's dads videotaping their kids for mixtapes in the fourth grade. Like, this is real. So, I mean, that they're a part of it. There's a byproduct of that that's missed. So let alone when the kid hits. So Tate Martell was in this, the former. He also had a bad rap. But Justin Fields was in it. Jake Fromm. There's a lot of guys that have been in this quarterback one thing. But there's a pretty decent reason to believe that that's why he lasted that far, that his talent was better than that.
That's silliness.
Yeah.
That's silliness. What I was going to say earlier, kind of full circle on the point I made when we went to break and you gave that big tease, is that you have to, if there are some character concerns, as there probably should be about some young people in the situations we outlined, you have to believe in your process for the players once they come into your organization. So that part of that's the culture in the locker room and the veteran leadership that you have there. And then the other part is, you know, Ron Brewer, our head of player engagement, the plan that, and it was, I don't remember if it was Stefanski or if it was Catherine Raich that we interviewed. And one of the nice things, but she said, we draft the player, but we also draft the person, and we will put plans in place for the player and plans in place for the person so that they're able to maximize whatever they want out of being a Cleveland Brown. And I think that's what good organizations do. And when you know, the Browns, I don't think if a few years ago, go back, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, were in a position where they could take some of those gambles. And in fact, you go back to the Sashi Brown draft, where they took, everybody was like a number one teammate, won awards, standout quality people. And you need a mix of that. You need all of those different things, but they were trying to kind of get that culture going. And now I think you have it organically because of the quality of the people here, the fact that everybody wants to play here. They clearly like their coaches. They like each other. And so now you can bring a guy in and say, okay, you know, for a guy like Michael Hall, that's a big man right there. That's a large human being. For a guy like Mike Hall, you know, he's going to go into a room with Dalvin Tomlinson and Shelby
like
Harris.
Zach Robinson.
Yeah, that is a
big. Or Zach Randolph size.
Yeah. Greg Robinson. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's doing all right. I enjoyed talking to him.
That was one of the great.
Yeah, that was.
That was great.
Yeah. He's going to go into a room now with professionals, fathers, and you mentioned that he's on the road to being that, with a coach, Jacques Césaire, who played in this league at his position. So I think we have a lot of things in place, and I think some of that stuff is, you know, is overblown, and to Chris Ballard's point earlier, you know, you get these things that get put out there, and are they real, are they not, are they done with the intention of actually depressing somebody's draft value so that a team can take them? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always the nicest business in that regard.
No.
No.
No. No, it is not.
By the way, we and unless you mentioned it and I missed it and I would apologize, but I'm pretty sure, have we mentioned Zeke?
I did.
You did?
Yep.
Why are they what are we doing?
Jerry loves him. Jerry loves him.
He averaged 3.5 yards a carry last year.
No, I know, but he loves him. He loves him. He wants to be a Cowboy. I think some of it's Jerry wanting to like validate the fact that he gave him the contract and want him to. He just wants him to be a Cowboy for life. One of the things you'll hear about guys who played in Dallas who were there a long time, like Jerry loves those guys.
Yeah.
Like he takes care of them.
Oh, yeah.
They are taken care of. So I think that's probably all that is.
They really don't have a running back room.
No.
Which
no.
is.
Their roster is weird.
Very weird.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing.
Agreed.
Very, very strange. How much of the rest of this did you take in?
Of?
Sports Weekend. What do you make of the Cavs?
I watched the playoff of that very cool golf format. Like, that was fun to see.
So tell me what happened. I saw none of it.
Tour tournament where it was like the last day, the last round was alternate shot. and Rory and Shane Lowry ended up winning it in a playoff in a sudden death because they were playing against guys who I'd never heard of, and they collapsed.
I got you.
And Rory and Shane Lowry were quite steady as
they would
major
be.
Champions.
Yeah, they would be, yeah.
So that was cool. And then obviously, you know, I'm paying attention loosely to the association and what's going on in the playoffs there. I find the Suns flame out to be spectacular.
Well, I think it's kind of end of super team era, right? Like, can you build teams that way anymore?
I mean,
I don't think you can because I think the money doesn't work.
You're not able to.
You can't build a full roster. You're so top heavy.
Yeah, but three guys
you can't do it.
Three guys should be able to win you NBA games if you have the best three.
Agreed, but like Durant is long in the tooth now.
All of a sudden, it didn't seem like he was.
Yeah, Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul was when he was with Golden State this year. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not watching it, so I don't know. But I was rooting for Anthony Edwards and pro that.
He's a stud.
You're about ready to have the worst possible thing. If from a rating standpoint, you're about ready to have Oklahoma City, Denver, Dallas or the Clippers, and Minnesota.
Well, Kawhi's out, so.
So, that ain't great.
No, that's side. The East is going to have, though. You're going to have the Knicks and you're going to have Boston.
Yeah. But
our team right now is what a disgraceful performance.
Everyone's going to. I'm not. It'd be silly for me to have some sort of strong take on this, so I'm not going to. I haven't followed it that closely. But the one thing that is surprising to me, if you go back a couple of years ago, and I followed them much more closely, my kids were really into it at the time, so that kind of made me really into it at the time, was I'm surprised that Garland and Mobley aren't better.
Yes.
Yep. You know, yeah, Mitchell's not scoring 30 a night, I get it, and it's impossible to score 10 in the third quarter of a playoff game. That's impossible in the NBA to me.
The Magic aren't good.
I understand. I watched game one. I mean, the other thing that's happened to the association is, like, a lot of these games are garbage.
Garbage.
You know, it's over.
And you
just push in the chips and say, oh, we'll play the next one.
You don't need 2 days off.
No.
Between travel dates.
No. They got a problem. They got problems. The ratings through the stuff I saw over the weekend is, I mean, they're still okay. They're 2.5-3 million for some of their bigger marquee games, like the Laker games will do, but they're going to go away. There's no Warriors. There's no Lakers. That's all going away.
Chicago.
No.
So your big market left is New York. You have the Knicks.
Yeah, the Knicks.
And Boston.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, out west, it's going to be slim pickings.
The other problem is you are 2 months away still from the NBA Finals.
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry, not too much. A month and a half.
Month and a half. Yeah.
It's mid-June.
Yeah. It's a long haul.
Later than it used to be. The first weekend of June was always
correct.
The NBA Finals.
Right, yeah. Coming out of Memorial Day. Uh-huh. Yeah. Feels like even sometimes in our youth it was on Memorial Day or the Sunday before.
Maybly
the finals
youth,
would
yeah.
start. Like in our youth, it would
really
start.
I mean, it's a long ways away.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
And like you said, to trot out those four teams in the Western Conference for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. By the way, I know obviously he's not your guy, but LeBron James in year 20 playing to this level.
He's unreal.
They're down 3-0. They have no chance. They played out of their minds.
I think they got a win. I think it's 3-1.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
You were too quick on the ombudsman. I said they were down 3-0.
I thought you said they are down 3-0.
No. Down 3-0. But in all three of the games, too quick to the ombudsman that time, Uno. They were down 3-0. All three of the games, they get out to big leads early, and the Nuggets evaporate the leads in the second half. Then they're playing a nonsense game. I mean, they're not winning the series. They're either going to lose their 4 or 5. And he plays his ass off, man. Like, at that age, to be doing this, 20 years in, anytime people are like, oh, you know, Jordan never got swept. Well, was he doing it at 20 years into the elite, into his career? Was he averaging 30 and 15? God, it's crazy physically.
Yeah,
to still play at that level, and it's
not. He's gonna come home.
Oh, that'd be something.
I'm not sure.
He's still got that great
what
house.
Currently goes on.
Yeah,
that's currently.
I don't know what's gonna happen with this. This
the Cavs.
The games have all sucked too.
I'm going tomorrow, and I'm curious if I think if it goes bad, that place could become hostile.
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Uno got in for bag of balls.
You walked right in.
I think me and my brother are going tomorrow. $31 total for the two tickets.
That's apathy there, kids. That's
they
pretty
sent
crazy.
Me
in a playoff game.
The Cavs sent me a thing being like, we need you there, like with a link to get tickets. I don't know if it's even legit sold out.
It didn't look like it was sold out. I bought the tickets this morning, so looks like there's
like
still
from
some
the Cavs.
Yeah.
Not from a second.
Well, I got it on SeatGeek, so I don't know.
That's their official.
That's their website. Yeah.
Yeah, that's their official.
But you could get, that's where people can like list, though, right?
So people are apathetic.
Yeah, but I mean, I got the same email you did over the weekend. It was like, we need you. Here's a link.
Wow. Tough sledding for the association now, kids. It's going to get tougher before it gets better.
It's
too
amazing in 1 week. 1 week ago this time, you're up 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that all of this is a bigger conversation, but like the NHL stuff is doing like 400,000 viewers. The NHL playoffs, 500,000 viewers. NBA stuff's 2 million, 2.5.
And they got, let me tell you,
the NFL draft's
tours.
That was like less than 300,000 on the PGA
yes,
Tour this
and nobody's
weekend.
Watching Liv.
No one's watching Liv. No.
They need to get back together immediately.
Yeah, it's, but I, the thing, I had an old
NFL is powerful.
An old news director tell me this. He said, people don't understand that it is harder. Once you lose ratings, it is harder to get them back.
Yeah.
Once you lose it and they go somewhere else, they get out of the habit of watching you, and you think of all of the entertainment options we have.
It's momentum.
At our disposal.
Think of a giant, I was Shogun. Think of that ship, that giant ship where they actually have the people in there who have to like row it.
Yeah.
Getting it going is hard.
Yes.
Once you have it moving, you're cruising. But if you stop that momentum and then have to get it going again, very difficult.
Very difficult. How are you
by
done?
By the way, episode, no, we just watched The Eighth Fence, episode 4. Banger. I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, let's hear from Chuck. This is funny.
This is the best part of the weekend.
This was funny. So the Pelicans, they're down 3-0, correct?
And they're awful.
Yes. But they have no Zion. Like,
no Zion.
What are you going to do?
I don't know if Zion would even help here.
How did they beat Sacramento?
One game.
Wild.
One game matters.
Yeah. Shame. So anyway, Shaq teed Chuck up for this on Inside the NBA. I did see this.
This is amazing. Part one.
This is part one. Go ahead.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna sit in the Cancun. We're gonna sit in the Galveston with that dirty ass water, be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all located, y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all and y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So did I take a little?
Come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water.
For a guy who played in Houston,
yeah,
he just, there are a lot of places he does not like in Texas. Galveston, San Antonio.
Yeah, he's down on both of those.
Quite,
yeah.
What was that gimmick? Mike, turn your mic
off? Was off. Sorry. Too bad you don't have a light.
I was going to say, if you'd like to play part two
so
of
this,
continues his roast.
So here's the second part of that.
I don't want the beehive and Jay after Chuck. Those, I apologize. I do not want the beehive and Jay after me.
So how do you like Galveston now?
It's beautiful.
We're not going there.
Would you go on vacation?
You got a
chance. Hell no, I ain't going on vacation.
You got a chance to wipe the slate clean
you
here.
You
got
to say, I would go to Galveston.
Let me
tell you something. That water's so dirty, I'd rather go to San Antonio. I'd rather go to San Antonio with them big old women. No, I'm not going to Galveston. I want to go to the beach down in the river walk and watch them big old women walk around San Antonio.
So you know what? So you know what sets him off. Okay, so you know what? We're going to try.
Would you rather go, Chuck? San Antonio. You know, that's what they invented Victoria's Secret, Chuck.
Why is it secret?
Because them little women down there, they can't get in them cute little underwear. They wear bloomers down in San Antonio.
Oh, my God. Somehow.
Victoria's Secret down there. It's still
somehow
a secret.
We are going to transition from that to this.
You like no parts of Texas.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was saying.
Like no parts of
Texas. And he played in Houston.
I'm guessing that's where the vitriol for San Antonio comes from, right? Because when he was in Houston.
Yeah, it must be.
I would think. Because they would have been rivals at that time. God, that's funny. I've not been to the beaches in Texas.
No.
No point of reference on that.
None.
South Padre Island's fantastic.
They used to go there for spring break all the time. That's MTV smart. Spring break would go to South Padre Island.
That's
Jenny McCarthy, Carmen Electra on a mic. Remember, that was a thing.
The Miz. They used to be a part of their spring breaks.
Yeah. And that's something that was like that was the content on MTV, and we'd be like, wow, you got to get in the mix there.
It was good content.
Fantastic content. Yeah.
Yeah, WCW would go down to Panama City.
Panama City, yeah. Yeah, wild.
Cisco performed the year I was there, the thong song.
I'm pretty sure.
He didn't, yeah. he didn't sing the big old Bloomer song?
I bet he did not play the Bloomer song. We'll recap the AFC North and the draft this weekend. Coming up next, Cleveland Browns Daily 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go around the division. From the Bengals' perspective, I think they got what they wanted out of this. They get a tackle for the future in Amarius Mims.
They've been bad at drafting tackles.
They've been, and not just that, offensive lineman, Billy Price in the first round. They've had Jackson Carman, Billy Price, Jonah Williams, all high-round picks on the offensive
line.
Billy
Price at least feels like he got hurt, right? Did he get hurt the combine?
I think he might have got hurt early, but then he would just – but then he would – was
right.
Yeah, there was something like that. But, like,
yeah,
they took a center with a first-round pick.
Well, yeah.
Chris Jenkins, five picks before us, defensive tackle out of Michigan. Jermaine Burton, the wide receiver, Alabama, their third-round pick.
So Burton was an interesting one. People seem to like him, that he just never achieved in college. But from a Clay standpoint, he's actually pretty good. One of the best vertical threats in the class, tracks it like an outfielder, no yak. It's pro comparison is Jeremy Maclin. We don't need them getting Jeremy Maclin.
So the thing there that's interesting is that obviously they went from a prolific throwing offense with Bryce Young to last year not.
Right.
So he probably got hurt a little bit by that. The one thing I noticed with their draft is
20.5
like,
yards a catch last year at Alabama.
I'm not crazy about that. The one thing I noticed about their draft is like they played the hits. Like it was big-time recruits, big-time programs. Every one of their draft picks was a Power 5 player. I don't know about Matt Lee. I don't think he. I don't know what college he went to. But the other two, Ole Miss, Arizona, TCU. I don't think he went to Lee. I think it's a typo. Eric All out of Iowa, the tight end. That's a tight end factory. McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle, Texas A&M. So
and Tanner Georgia, McLaughlin Michigan, out of Arizona. Alabama.
Yeah, like, I mean it's one dude after another.
People really like him, but he's like 26 and has had a bunch of injuries. But if he were younger, he would have been drafted much earlier.
Matt Lee was Miami.
Okay, so there you go. So they're all Power Five. They're all. That was kind of their type.
Yeah.
The Steelers got high praise on their draft as well. Faltano, the offensive tackle out of Washington in the first round. Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia in the second. Roman Wilson at Michigan. Linebacker Peyton Wilson of NC State in the third.
So
that was the way they went.
Roman Wilson, I thought, had a little bit of a fall.
He did.
So yeah, that was surprising, but I think it was a good value. Peyton Wilson is probably the most talented linebacker in this class, but he's had 12 surgeries since his senior year of high school. 12 ACLs, shoulders, you name it. So if he can be healthy, I think he could be pretty good for them. But that's, you know, that's an appropriate time to take him into the third round because could be a first round talent. You don't know. But they clearly want to overhaul their line, tackle, center, and a guard all in the same draft.
Yep.
Mason McCormick, South Dakota State. There's the Jackrabbits.
There they are.
So, yeah. Again, it's hard. I personally, and maybe I'm dumb about this, but, you know, you see a tackle go here, a tackle go there. Clearly, teams are trying to deal with the fact that you have to contend with Myles Garrett. And in the case of the Steelers, you have to contend with Myles Garrett and Hendrickson and whoever the Ravens have out there. In the case of the Steelers, you have to – and Watt and Highsmith. You know, in the case of the Bengals, you have Watt, Highsmith, and then Myles and Zadarius. So teams clearly were cognizant of that because all three teams in our division took a offensive tackle with either their first or their second draft pick.
Yeah. Yep. Ravens go Nate Wiggins, first-round corner out of Clemson. Rosengarten, as you mentioned, the tackle out of Washington. Isaac, defensive end out of Penn State. Tez Walker, wide receiver out of North Carolina in the fourth round. and so forth and so on. The only team, yeah, the I only really quarterback, it doesn't matter. The only quarterback drafted in our division was Devin Leary, the quarterback out of Kentucky. He's an NC State transfer who transferred to Kentucky. He was one of the big names in the portal a year ago.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this means anything, but this was the I felt like with the Steelers or the Ravens, they didn't make a single pick where I was like, don't you dare do it, and then they did it. You know?
Yeah. We had that a lot with them.
Maybe Roman Wilson fits that bill because I thought he was going to go in the second round, so mm-hmm. maybe that's – but, I mean, everybody passed on him, so who knows? Maybe they'll get some product. But, again, it's because it's not sexy. If teams are out there drafting tackles and no weapons, like, early, I mean, neither one of them took a weapon before mm-hmm. the third round.
Burton Wilson.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll live with that. And then Tez Walker in the fourth for the Ravens.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a good point out of you in terms of the, no weapons till third round in the division.
No, it was all line and then one corner.
Yeah. All right, we'll whip it. Coming up next, you'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily. It's brought to you by Ballybet. It's a sports betting partner here, Cleveland Browns, and it is live in Ohio. Time to whip it.
Gentlemen, question number one on this Monday. Which Browns rookie are you most excited to watch this upcoming season? Maybe we should even include training camp because preseason games, we really don't play anybody.
Here's the hard part. It's hard to watch D tackles.
Right.
Right? Mike Hall's the one that you're going to have the chance to be the most, obviously. But, like, he's a D tackle. So it's tough. That's tough. Probably Mike and Thrash, see if he's got the top-end speed that you're looking for.
Yeah, and then I'll give, as to give, like, another name, I'll go Nathaniel Watson because I just think he's got that size that's really going to stand out. It's hard to watch the alignment, especially when there aren't pads on and really no one. I mean, you'll see his ability to get around people, but Nathaniel Watson, I'm curious to see what he looks like. How does he move? Is he a fluid athlete like our boy Mac Wilson, who just got himself 3 years, $12 million with Arizona, which is...
I missed that.
Yeah.
That's
It was
great.
Like the beginning of free agency. It was like a day one free agency signing.
I missed that.
Yeah, like three years, $12
million. That makes me very happy. Yeah. Remember, Mac did like several of those coaches' shows remotes with us.
Oh, yeah.
He was at a couple of them. He would
I liked
him. Yeah, he was a good dude. I liked him.
I'm also excited to see Myles Harden if he gets a chance to go up against some of our top wide receivers.
Sure.
Just because there's been a lot made of him under the radar day three guy.
It goes back to what we've been saying here in the last couple of weeks, though, Gibbe. Like, for 15 years, this fan base was kind of in the mode of look for a rookie that's a superstar, try to hit the lottery.
Yeah.
Hopefully this one guy fixes it. You don't need fixing. The car's been restored.
I mean, we would be looking at the 2 7th rounders going,
oh, could this guy do that? Oh, I remember. Like, hey, what about this 7th rounder we got out of Ole Miss? Oh, yeah. All right. Why don't you pass that now? It's done. So it's just a
those days are long gone,
they're
brother.
In the rear view, brother.
Question number two, which rookie QB is best set up for success in year one? I would also ask which QB is not set up for success in year one or maybe with the team that they're with currently.
So before we answer that, let me pose this to both of you, and I don't know if this came up over the weekend for you guys. Has any first overall pick been in a better situation to start his career than Caleb Williams?
No.
I don't think so.
No. It's unprecedented. It's without precedent. He's going to be throwing to DJ Moore, who's coming off of a 1,300-yard season, who has 1,100-plus yard seasons in the last five. Keenan Allen's a six-time Pro Bowler with 6,000-yard seasons. He had over 1,200 last year. You've got Rome Odunze that you drafted to go as be as your third. Then you got Cole Kmet, who's coming off of 73 catches, 719 yards, and six touchdowns, and DeAndre Swift. There's no precedent for the situation that he is going to find himself in. And this Carolina draft, now if you run a business in Carolina, don't maybe post this publicly, but that trade is one of, that will be one of the worst trades.
It'll be it'll be our generation's Herschel Walker trade, I think.
If you're they gonna look can go back at it, and they go, should. I mean,
you're gonna look back and go, "My God, that did this."
All of a sudden,
and by the way, Herschel Walker was pretty good at Minnesota at the beginning. He really was.
By the way, the NFC North, the AFC North, and the NFC North are the best combined of any geographical. To say AFC West, NFC West.
Yes.
NFC, like by a mile.
Well, both the NFC West and the AFC West have both taken a turn down bigly in the last 2 years.
Yes.
Both
Other
of
than
them.
Their top. Their top
the
is
top
still
is still
good.
Great. But the dude, whatever the over under is on Kansas City win total, to the moon.
To the moon.
So here's my follow up then about the whole Caleb Williams and the Bears. Like, what's a reasonable expectation?
They
for him,
make
the, or
make
for
the
them.
Playoffs. Make the playoffs.
They should make the playoffs.
They should make the playoffs.
I mean, the NFC North could have, I think all four teams could potentially make the playoffs. Certainly the top three are very, Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay are very good. And then you've got to feel like Minnesota getting a winning quarterback. They've got, I think, a good front office, good head coach, some really talented players. I feel like they're going to be pretty darn good.
All right. JJ's the second best.
Yes, situation.
In Minnesota. Yep. The worst is Drake May.
Yes.
In New England.
I feel like this is going to be a
colossal failure. That's why I made the case last Thursday, and I'm sure Elliot was listening to offers, but I would have got out of it. If you could have got a home run trade at three, I would have punted and see it on down the road. But sometimes ownership wants quarterbacks. They oftentimes do, but, like, they need so much.
So they've got Jalen Polk, their second rounder this year. They drafted Javon Baker in the fourth round as a wide receiver, and he was telling everybody he's going to make everybody pay for passing on him. He was like, Tim Misney, I'm going to make them pay. And then they've got KJ Osborne, Juju Smith. I mean, they have no weapons at all.
It's
AVP
crazy.
Brought in Austin Hooper, though. They got Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
Ramondre, Antonio Gibson. Yeah, they are. That's a tough situation. That doesn't feel like a very good team.
I get the impression, like, there weren't a lot of fond things said about him.
About who?
About May. Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know about the whole quarterback class in general. For as heralded as they were at the start of the college football season to where they ultimately ended up...
I think it speaks to the desperation, you know, to try to land one of these guys, that six of them go in the first 12, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I am fascinated on the Bo Nix.
Well, that's
with Denver
not
a, and
my guess is, I'll tell you what I'm really fascinated on, like being a Denver beat guy next year covering Sean Payton, as contentious as that's going to be. He's saying, like, he did this stuff with Minnesota, like,
yeah,
he tricked
them. Fooled them.
Oh God, this guy's going to be, this will be a full day.
So he thinks he fooled them.
Yeah.
They moved up one spot.
And they really didn't give up anything. And by the way, the team that benefited from that is in his conference.
Correct.
It might even have been his, was it in his division?
Was it the
Raiders?
I think it was it the Raiders? Who was it?
They traded up with the Jets, I believe.
Oh, Jets.
The Jets. So still
Jets,
an AFC team.
AFC team.
Yeah, he feels like he's going like full smug.
Yeah. Don't question me. I know everything. That's his attitude.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Up next, fact or fiction, other AFC contenders should avoid trading with Kansas City in the first round.
I cannot believe that Buffalo did that.
I think that's flying way under the radar. Thank you, Michael Penix, for taking the spotlight off of that if you're Buffalo.
That blew my mind that they would give them that ability to draft. Wasn't that Xavier Worthy?
Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was Xavier Worthy.
I know they were able to accumulate picks and move back and still get a receiver in the second round. But
especially that AFC team, Gibby. It'd be one thing if it was Tennessee or somebody who was trying to rebuild and needed assets, a bunch of them. But, like,
all of a sudden now they've got Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, Kelsey, Mahomes, Pacheco. I mean, all of a sudden they've got a pretty solid-looking offense.
Yeah. They won two Super Bowls reconfiguring their offense while they reconfigure
and
their
I feel
offense.
Like Mahomes after this one was like, hey, like, we need some help here.
You know, the Bills, it's interesting. You look at them, they have a very interesting roster. Could you name Anybody here, can you name their top three receivers as today?
No chance.
Is it the guy they just drafted out of USC?
Keon Coleman, who's great. He likes a good value. He and my dad would get along very well. Got his jacket from Macy's.
Yeah.
Hunsie said he buys his winter coats in the summer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Khalil Shakur and Curtis Samuel. That's their top three receivers.
That's the receivers, yeah.
Next, Mac Hollins, Andy Isabella. I mean,
jeez.
Their D's pretty good, though. They drafted a free safety. They lost both safeties, so they drafted Cole Bishop and then Taylor Rapp. So they don't look as good as they once did.
I can't be happy about that if I'm Josh Allen.
No. By the way, how about the Bills? I mean, the Bears drafting a punter in the fourth round.
The punter. Like, the best punter ever.
Like, anybody could even know that, Uno. Have you ever heard of Shane Leckler?
He's pretty good, too, but
the guy is.
This guy at Iowa was, like, the best player.
This guy hasn't kicked a punt in the NFL
yet. He was the one player on Iowa this year that brought excitement to people because they couldn't move the ball. So this guy just pinned the other team deep.
You're right. That became a thing in the Big Ten. Like, this guy would just boom. Yeah. And didn't Caleb Williams call him and say, well, you're not going to punt much for us? Or text him?
Yeah, good.
Up next, obviously, Michael Penix is number one, but what draft pick was most surprising besides him?
It's hard for me to get into that type of a thing.
I think Michael Penix overshadowed was so big.
He was, but I mean, I think it makes sense based on the personality of the guy who probably had the final say on the pick. But I'll never understand having Justin Herbert and not drafting her, and you got neighbors sitting there.
Yep. I agree. I got yelled at by Mo Pedman. I'm like, get it. So they came back. They got Ladd McConkey in the second round.
So now what if you'd done them both?
That's what I would have done.
What if you had Neighbors and McConkey
and Quinn Herbert, Jefferson?
Now all of a sudden you've redone.
Or Johnson, Quinn Johnson out of TCU.
All of a sudden your entire operate. Now you're right on.
Now you're going.
That's not what
Harbaugh wants to.
Yeah. But allow me
3 yards in a cloud of dust with Gus Edwards.
With a quarterback.
Oh, I didn't understand that. I just, to me, like.
Weapons.
Guy used to do a radio show who made a living tackling people for a living said we never game plan for a left tackle. We had a game plan. We were having this was in regard to the Penei Sewell, Jamar Chase conversation. By the way, both those guys have been great.
Yep.
Sewell's great. Chase is great. But it was like, well, what should the
Chase
Bengals
do? Chase impacts the game more.
And he goes, I got to deal with Jamar Chase if I'm playing defense. I don't got to deal with Penei Sewell. I'm not game planning for a left tackle.
Yep.
Take all left tackles you want.
Do it. Go ahead.
You got a guy who I'm terrified about on every snap. That's a problem.
Yep.
This question not on here. There was a question about post-draft cut candidates.
Yep.
Miles Sanders, Bailey Zappe, Kadarius Toney, Trent Brown, or James Bradbury. They're all candidates.
I think Bradbury's going to get cut because Philadelphia somehow snaked two of the top three corners in this draft. Mm-hmm. So
He got Kendall Milton today. He's a really good player out of Georgia, undrafted free agent running back. High ceiling. They signed him. Philly did. Howie's on it.
Yeah.
So, the end of the day, as we start to put a bow on this draft, at what point
Miles Sanders is gone too.
In the next 5 years, does defense make a comeback in terms of picks in the first round?
It all ebbs and flows. I think you're just going to see more.
This is
it's the wide receiver, and there are going to be more wide receivers than ever, and you're going to need them in the draft. So everything ebbs and flows, right? But I do think you're going to see an offensive slant because here's the other thing. The rules are slanted severely for the offense, number one. If you were to look at year-over-year historicals, a good offense is significantly more consistent season to season than a good defense.
Yes. I think the other factor that's in play is we've never had smarter people running NFL teams across the board.
And that is a fact.
And they are not forcing positional draft. So you draft the draft. What I mean by that is this is a loaded receiver draft, a loaded offensive player draft. Don't force a defensive end in the first round if it's not the grade. In the old days, we got to have a corner. Take best available corner.
We need it, right.
They're not doing that anymore. They're letting the draft come to them.
They're drafting
the draft as opposed to drafting positional need. You see that across the league. The league has never been smarter than it is right now. I think that's
I like that.
That's certainly part of what's happening as well. I love the first two rounds. I think the first two nights. I think Thursday's great. I think Friday's a lot of fun. Saturday's, but look, Saturday was our old Sunday. Remember in the old days, that was Sunday.
The good, like, Saturday to me is a day where you can look at your phone at 7 at night and be like, oh.
That's, yeah.
That's what they did.
That's how that worked.
And I'm as invested in this as anybody.
Yeah.
But I also understand where our team is.
Yes.
And then if these guys become surprises in August and then into September and beyond, great. But it's April, brother, and our focus is on Deshaun Watson and this offense. And if they're what we hope they will be, we're going to be just fine.
We're going to be just fine.
I will say this. Zach Zinter and Wyatt Teller, that's like the key master and the gatekeeper in Ghostbusters.
Well,
because
there's a piece of that that would be confusing
to
this listener.
From the aspect of, I don't think there are two people on this team that love to hunt, fish, and shoot guns the way that those two do.
Okay.
And I feel like getting those two together.
Maybe a stepbrothers analogy.
I was saying, stepbrother, Dumb and Dumber, perhaps?
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. If you want to go down that road.
Stepbrothers, I think. Wait. That'd do it.
It would. Are we best friends? That's what we're looking for.
That's what we're looking for. So much more to come. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I think it was last week somebody said to me, you know, why don't you tell any Beamsy stories? It was always NBC and BBC or whatever. And so this is it. So we're playing at we played at 10:30, 1:30, 4:30 on Saturday up in Sandusky. All of their games went opposite. So NBC. So there was one where I got to watch them kind of on one field, one on each side. But other than that, it was all spread out. That place is huge. It's nice, but it's huge. So for the last game, we were on other ends. So Beamsy was playing a B team. I knew they were going to smoke. So I went and watched NBC play at the other side of the complex. It starts to downpour. Okay, so I'm running to get back because I'm like, this is it's downpour on the lake. Awful.
It's going to be a brutal drive home.
It's going to suck. Yeah. So I'm running. I get to where Beamsy's tent is, where his team is. I had one of those backpack Yeti coolers, you know, that I packed Gatorades
up
there.
Things, yeah.
So he's got his rain jacket on, completely zipped up over his head. He's got his gear bag, his lacrosse stick all packed, and then he's got the backpack on. In other words, I'm ready to go, Dad. I just looked at him, hugged him. I'm like, I couldn't be more proud of what just happened
here.
Meantime, we're sitting here waiting. NBC is walking from the other end of the complex. That's it.
There you go.
And Bootsy?
Well, he was in Chagrin Falls taking up ownership of their football stadium.
Oh, that's right.
Banging goals. Sorry, Miss K. New landlord.
She's okay with it. She's pro Bootsy.
Well, of course she is. Of course she's pro Bootsy. Yeah.
You don't have a choice.
He's forced.
Not well, in my household.
I'll get you the full documentation of the first jump into the pool as well, which will be exciting. All right. Join Z and Ken tonight, 7 o'clock draft review show.
Andrew Berry.
There you go. Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Oh, yeah. It's right here. GM Andrew Berry and voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joining the program as well. Perfect way to end it. The next level's coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.